listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our series in the Set Apart to Serve series today and in Hispanic Heritage Month series.
Yes.
But it's on a different day for that series. But that's okay.
That's okay. We can double dip.
Now, if I only would have studied Spanish in high school or college, that would really be handy today. But we're going to do things in English and do the best that we can with my English skills. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Dr. Eli Prieto, Associate Professor of Practical Theology and Director of the Center for Hispanic Studies at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Prieto, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on. So I really appreciate it.
I am absolutely delighted to have you in studio and have this opportunity to learn about your work and the Center for Hispanic Study today. I can't wait to dig into this conversation.
Sure, absolutely. We're excited to Pastor Flory, me. So you're glad to be here.
And also alongside Dr. Prieto, the Reverend Paul Flo, assistant to the director of the Center for Hispanic Studies at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Thank you so much for joining us today, Pastor
Flo. You're welcome. It's good to be here with you.
So let's talk about the Center for Hispanic Studies and how you came to the Center for Hispanic Studies. Let's start with a little bit of the history, and then we'll talk about how you joined the center as well. What do you know, since you're a little bit more, you're more recent than the center itself. So tell us a little bit what you know about the history of the Center for Hispanic Studies.
So it's interesting because I have been involved with the center for probably, I would say, the last 10 years teaching. But I was living in San Antonio, so I didn't know much about the history. By that time, of course, Dr. Leo Sanchez was a director, and Marcus Kempf was working with him, which is now the position that Pastor Flor has. So the history really goes back in 1977 when the Synod in the convention decided to prepare men. That time was only men for ministry. We didn't talk about deaconess. And so, and they decided and they voted that. And then the next year they start to teach Hispanic students. But it was very hard and difficult to bring them from whatever they were in the country to go to, because they started in Chicago, Concordia, Chicago. So then they stopped for a while, and then they went pretty much more like a distance learning program. And then really officially they opened in 1987, hosted by Concordia, Chicago, of course. And in that time, there was a Hispanic Institute of Theology, and they stayed there until 2006 when they moved to our campus here in St. Louis, Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. But since from the get-go, the program was under the supervision of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis because they are preparing men to be ordained, right? So then Concordia Seminary was involved, even though we are not hosting the center on that time. But now we are, since 2006. So that's pretty much the history in a nutshell. And my involvement was, like I said, I was always teaching. Of course, when I came to Concordia in 2021 to teach and to be the associate dean for the multi-ethnic program that we have, the EIT, also I was supervising the Center for Hispanic Studies, even though Leo Sanchez was the director. But now, beginning July, I'm the director, too, for the center. And I'm so happy to have Pastor Flo work with me because he's very gifted. And you're learning how to work together. But so that's how I got involved now, being the director beginning July 1st.
Do you know, you mentioned that the Synod and Convention, this is where this came from. Do you know the need, why the Synod was talking about creating a Center for Hispanic Studies at that time?
It's a good question. And I really, maybe, I don't know, the right answer maybe, but I'm guessing is, of course, already by that time, you know, we had a lot of Hispanic immigrants in the country, and especially in Chicago, I'm thinking, but, you know, Texas, California, maybe Florida, and I think the church said, hey, it's time for us to be more intentional about doing ministry with Hispanics, Latinos. Of course, we had missionaries in Central America, South America working, but probably they decide to train men here. And I think that was really the reason when the center really started.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about your ministry and how the Lord brought you here as well. Where did ministry begin for you? You mentioned you were in San Antonio before here, but how did the Lord bring you into the Office of Holy Ministry, that formation, and becoming a pastor and now serving at the center? Yeah.
Well, I don't know how much time we have. Well, originally I'm from Brazil, so I was born and raised in Brazil, and I was not Lutheran, so I'm a fruit of missions. So I was baptized Presbyterian. My mom was Presbyterian. My dad was a nominal Catholic. See, my last name is Spaniard, Prieto. Mm-hmm. So my grandparents immigrated from Spain to Brazil. And my dad was the youngest, so he was born in Brazil as well, one of my aunts. But most of my uncles and aunts were born in Spain and came as little kids to Brazil. So I grew up that, you know, I had this Spaniard background, but I never spoke Spanish much. Only Portuguese, pretty much. But we moved from São Paulo State to Rio de Janeiro, and close to our home, there was this Lutheran church. And I have to be honest, you know, I really didn't like to go to church when I was a kid. I was a teenager, and I had two older brothers, and my mom was very faithful, and she would wake me up and say, we go to church. And we had to take a bus to go to downtown to this Presbyterian church. And I really, okay, mom, we're going to go. And one day we are coming back from church, and we are in the public transportation, the bus, and we pass by this Lutheran church, you know, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. And my mom, you know, she didn't have a lot of formal education, but she enjoyed reading history. And she says, do you know, son, this is Lutheran. That comes from Martin Luther. I said, okay. So what, mom? Right? I'm thinking as 12 years old guy, and she says, oh, he was the reform, and she says all this, you know, things about Luther, which I didn't know anything about it. And then she says, oh, it's so close to our home. Maybe next Sunday we can walk here. You know, I said, yeah, I can wake up a little later to go to church. That's what I thought,
sounds
right?
Sounds great. Yeah,
it's a good idea, Mom. And really, you know, that was the Lord. I mean, I don't have any doubts about that. And so we went to church. It was 10:30, you walk in, and was very German church, even though Rio de Janeiro don't have too many German immigrants, but was still a German church. And the pastor was a very tall German guy, Pastor Luis Carlos Garlip. He's still a pastor in Brazil, retired now, but very involved in ministry. So you walk in, right? So then he sees those two, you know, this lady with this young kid, and he was excited because it was his first call. He went to church to grow. And so the rest is history. Then also he invited me to be in part of the pageant for Christmas and Sunday school. And man, and it was crazy. You know, I never thought about that. And then my dream was to go to the Navy in Brazil. I like the Navy. My brothers were Army guys, airborne company. I said, no, I want to be in the Navy. I was born in an island. I think water is better for me than be jumping from the plane. But then he says, no, you're going to go to the seminary. He told me that. And he just kept telling this to me, you know. And I said, oh, Pastor, it'll be a long time. No, you're going to go. You do the pre-seminary, then you do the seminary. So he got a scholarship because by that time, I mean, I'm making the story short because we moved back and forth for that same town. But for sake of time here, I'm just saying this. So then when we came back to the same town after years, a couple years later, the pastor said, oh, okay, we're going to send you to the seminary. And he did it. So he got a scholarship for me from the district. He asked how much my mom could help. My mom, you know, had some pension from my dad. He just had died. I was 14 by that time. And then he got everything. You know, then his wife and I hopped in the bus in, 30 hours by bus from Rio de Janeiro to Rio Grande do Sul to go to the pre-seminary. Mm-hmm. And then I graduated in 1983 as a pastor in Brazil. And then I came here to St. Louis to do training in deaf ministry. My first call was to work with the deaf. Mm. So I was missionary for the deaf for a long time. I was a chaplain for a deaf school. I was the first Lutheran pastor in Brazil to work with the deaf. And then I helped to train other pastors that they are doing the ministry today. So I never really thought I would be pastor in the U.S. And so it's a long story. Maybe you can have another program just to talk about that. But yeah, I came here again then in 1991 to Fort Wayne to do studies, went back to Brazil. Then in 2001, I came as a pastor in San Antonio after being a professor in our seminary in Brazil for 5-6 years. I was a professor in our seminary where I graduated from. So I went back to my alma mater to be a professor there after I finished my studies in Fort Wayne. Yeah, so it's a kind of interesting story, but I keep telling Paul, you know, I mean, both of us, we talk about this, you know, that, I mean, God has his own ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't listen, he sends a big fish to catch you. So, and I think, you know, it's always amazing, his grace. Yeah, so I think about that. I talk to my wife someday, and I'm thinking, wow, I'm teaching St. Louis. I have to pinch myself what I'm doing here, you know. So it's very humbling, yeah. Very humbling to be in this position in the church, especially someone that is outside of the church, right? I was not born and baptized in the Lutheran church. Mm-hmm. So it's being welcome, you know, like an outsider in the church. And you're a part of this ministry now, helping to prepare new pastors, right? Women to serve in the church, which is a wonderful honor. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful to work with Paul and other colleagues in the seminary.
Yeah. Pastor Flo, we've had you on KFUO before. Yeah, that was before you were...
Was
ordained.
Before I was ordained.
Yeah, so
I can't remember exactly what year, but maybe 17.
Yeah. Tell us about your journey also into pastoral ministry and your work with the Center for Hispanic Studies.
So I started out, well, I grew up in the Lutheran church. My dad, Pastor Stephen Flo, was a pastor at one parish his entire career, just retired a couple of years ago, Grace Lutheran in DeSoto, Missouri. And I always had an interest in theology, but I resisted the ministry for a while. Part of that was observing some of the difficulties that come with being a pastor.
Right.
Also some of the teenage frustrations of being labeled a PK all the time. and actually my dad, sometimes people are surprised by this, but he always said, avoid the ministry if you can. And if the Lord wants you there, he's going to pull you in and make it irresistible to you, which he would always tell us that, you know, this is the highest calling. And he would say, Paul, you've got gifts that are very consistent with the gifts that would be needed for the ministry. But he definitely knew that it's not a place to just enter into very lightly. And so I did that. I just avoided it for a while, and I was a teacher for a few years. And then I came back to the seminary just to study theology. I still was very resistant to the idea. And I think it was Dr. Jeff Gibbs that said, well, Paul, just start out with the MDiv program. I know it's the pastoral formation program, but it's easier to begin there and then change out of it if you decide, rather than going starting from the outside and coming in. And I don't know all the details there, but I made that decision. And sure enough, after about 3 months, I thought, the Lord's dragging me in, pulling me into the ministry, because I just loved theology, fell in love with it. And then with regard to Hispanic ministry, I never had that on my radar at all. I, like most people in the States, had a little bit of high school Spanish, but it was always just something I had to do to get through it. So I was never interested too much in it. And then it was my fieldwork congregation, Village Lutheran, here in Ladue.
Yep.
And it was Pastor Ross Johnson that asked me if I would be open to doing an international vicarage. Mm. I think he found out that I had lived abroad. And so I said, yeah, you know, why not? It's just adding one more year to the experience. And if I could learn Spanish, that would be fantastic. So I really embraced Spanish down in Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic is where I was living for 2 years. Pastor Joel Fritchie, who was my supervisor, is now back at the seminary with me. So that's been kind of a fun reconnection. Mm-hmm. And the Lord used that to totally change my pathway. And my first call was out doing Hispanic ministry in Nebraska, of all places. I never would have thought Nebraska, but a huge Hispanic population out there. And then just over a year ago, I got a call from the seminary to come serve in this position as assistant to the Center for Hispanic Studies.
Yeah.
So that's my journey.
Fantastic.
Both great stories.
Wow.
We're going to learn more about what you get to do at the Center for Hispanic Studies in just a moment, right here on The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're talking with friends from the Center for Hispanic Studies at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, learning more about how they came into the ministry and how they came to this ministry at the Center for Hispanic Studies. Tell us more about the students that study at the Center for Hispanic Studies. Who's coming to the center to, and what are they preparing for?
Yeah, it's a great question, Andy. And I think it's And when Paul and I were discussing, you know, preparing to come here and talk to you guys, we were really, you know, thinking about how you would answer that question, because when you think about Central Hispanic Studies, the students that we have, they are not like the MGF students that come. They move from other parts of the country and come here to St. Louis and stay here 2 years, go to Vicarage, come back for a final year. Our students, they are in some ways involved directly in ministry where they're coming from, either from Chicago, from Texas, from Florida, West Coast, you name it. So, and we have pastoral students and we have also diaconist students coming. So when we start the program, at the same time, they are either vicar or they're also diaconist interns. So at the same time, they are learning about theology, about how to do ministry. They're already doing ministry under supervision of a local pastor, right? So the MGF students will have 1 year of vicarage. Our students are going to have 4 years of vicarage or internship. So that goes side by side, you know. And they are doing different types of ministry. Sometimes it is an Anglo congregation that has seen a potential with the Hispanic ministry, and they see a young man, a young girl in the church that could be involved. And some pastors, even more, we are seeing that, right, Paul, that they're seeing the need and mm-hmm. talk to people trying to raise local leaders. And sometimes we see districts very intentionally about reaching out to Hispanics. So they also try to raise up Hispanic students for the center in the district, and then they send them to us. So,
yeah, and that's one difference is a lot of times people think, oh, so anybody that speaks Spanish can just come and say, I'm interested in theology and want to study. But it's a bit different because our CHS students, they come already backed by the district and their local congregation. So they're already a part of some local ministry, mm-hmm. and then they come to us kind of sponsored or just backed up by their local parish and then also the district. Yeah.
Another thing that's very important to say, Paul, right, is that our students, our program is not a degree program. Like you come to St. Louis and get a master's degree in theology or a MGIF. So you are licensed, right? That's you are certified. Yeah. You have a certification to become a deacon or a pastor. And of course, after you do that, you are considered a general pastor like I am and like Paul is in the ministry of the church. And some of our students, they come from different backgrounds, right? Not all of them are Lutherans like myself. I was telling you before this story. Some people came across a Lutheran church like I did when I was a little kid in Brazil. And they realize, hey, I can come to this church. And they start to join the church, get involved. So, and sometimes they come from Pentecostal background, non-denominational background. So and through the conversation with the local pastors, that's when they make that transition. And some of them, since it's not a degree program, so most of our students, they will have a kind of a high school level education. But again, we will be a mix. We're going to have students that have bachelor's degree, even have master's degree in other fields, and they come to study in the seminary. But that's pretty much in the broad view what we have in terms of students.
And the students are also primarily bivocational. Most of them are working
exactly
at least 40 hours, usually more like 60 hours a week. And so their classes are always
in the evening.
Twice a week in the evening. Yeah, pretty late. 7 to 10 p.m. is the class.
3 hours. Yeah.
And then for the Floridians, it's 8 to 11. So it's always kind of hard for them with the time change. But a bit of a different student group.
Yeah, sure. That's really, they're all working. You know, they're working priests or working deaconess, I would say, right? Mm-hmm. Doing other things. And decide being a wife or a husband or a dad and mom, but also being a student in the center. So it's very demanding. But I think it's very interesting to see I teach for MGF students too. So the MGF students, they're younger. Some are married, but they move to campus. They start a new life here on campus, even though it's a short time that they stay. And sometimes they are really engaged, but sometimes they think, well, maybe I don't need to listen to this now, right? Because only 4 years are going to become a pastor, right? But people that are in our program, they are already hands-on doing things. So whatever you say, they're always, you know, eager to learn more and discuss more because they say, how can I apply this right now, right? Mm-hmm. It's not something in the future, but it's right now they can see a kind of a connection, what we are teaching in terms of Bible study, preaching, pastoral care, right? Music in the church, youth ministry, you name it, right? So they say, I have application for this. Or even they ask more questions that they're going to try to apply what we are telling them. So it's a different dynamic, I would say.
Mm-hmm. How are some of these students who have come through the program, how are they serving today? Do you have stories of some of the pastors and deaconesses that have come through the program and how they're serving today in the church?
Yeah, I mean, all of our alumni are spread out all over the country. Right now, our students are primarily coming from Texas District, Georgia, Florida, and then Northern Illinois District, went out in California. And they're currently involved with just local ministry, local schools. One of our deaconess students that I think of because her husband is also an alumnus of the program, he's serving as a pastor down in Brandon, Florida. His name is Pastor Miguel Sanabria Jr. And his wife, Caterine, is one of our current students.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a cool husband-wife
teamwork,
yeah, teamwork duo. And they're in such a Hispanic population in the community, and they've got a really thriving school there. And so that's been really fun to see. I went down to visit them maybe a year ago.
What's beautiful about them, Paul, they just this year they brought another deaconess student, Martha, right?
Yep, Martha
They have another new student, deaconess, and pastor and his wife came along, you know, just to be here supporting her this fall. We have orientation week for Monday to Friday. So they brought this new young, I mean, she's not so young lady, right? But she's too young in spirit, I guess. But she came to be a student, so it was very nice. So that's really to tell how exciting is this ministry. So was the pastor, was his wife, you know, and they found a lady in the church that's also involved in the program. And we have other examples. You know, I was thinking, Paul, Jaime Gonzalez in Texas.
And his wife as well.
Is also in the program. And they have also another lady in the program. But Jaime has an interesting program because, I mean, an interesting story because he started this church on Easter of 2017 with 13 people, right? Mm-hmm. Now they are charter church to be able to call him and his wife and this other lady that is also graduating from our program. And now they worship about 130 people.
Wow.
So they, and pretty much everybody is speaking. It's bilingual, but predominantly Hispanic. And they are reaching out, you know, places around the church like Rockwall in Texas. So it's interesting how God uses, you know, people that he calls and he equips them and he sends them out, right? So it's love and sent to proclaim the good news, to share the word of God and do ministry of word in sacraments, really, which is really key for what we do in the church. That's really, you know, what we do in the best way we can do, right? It's the Holy Spirit working through this, but it's us being part of that ministry, right?
Yeah. And most of our students as well, they're coming recommended by the alumni because the Lutheran Church in the Hispanic community is very not well known.
Yeah.
And so even like the students that came to our orientation just recently, almost all of them are brand new Lutherans, maybe in the last couple of years, because they do need to be a Lutheran, confirmed Lutheran for 2 years before coming to the program at the seminary. But yeah, very different stories than what you would typically hear from, say, MDiv students.
Mm-hmm. What's the outlook for the Center for Hispanic Studies for the future?
Future vision. Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah. Paul and I, we have discussed a lot about this. I mean, we have so many ideas, but, you know, we already started implementing some of them. It's not that we didn't have that before, but like Paul is leading, I did that with Marcus Kempf before, but now Paul is taking the lead for that. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have 1 hour of lunch or Spanish at lunch.
Yeah, this
and Paul can talk about that a little bit.
This fits with just the one of our big goals is to promote more Spanish on campus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because really, we need bilingual pastors. We don't need just English or just Spanish speakers. We need bilingual. Mm-hmm. And so Spanish club at lunch, we just started for the first time in January. We'll be starting with, it's been accepted, the proposal to start a cross-cultural module, which is one of the MDiv requirements, but have a Spanish ministry or a Hispanic
module.
Ministry cross-cultural module. Yeah. So that one of the big obstacles that I've seen is a lot of students know that it's important, but it's just another thing added to the plate. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we thought is if we could offer it for credit, then there would be more of an incentive. And so we're excited to get that started.
Yeah, we have quite a few students involved with this.
Yeah.
And then another thing that you're discussing here, too, is creating cohorts for our center, because right now the students, they pretty much come together and they have class together. Sometimes if somebody's already advanced and another one, but because we didn't have a bigger group.
Yeah.
But this time we had a big group of students coming.
About nine new students.
Nine new students this fall. And we are having class, imagine online, you're teaching, right? You see a little face on the screen. So we're hoping to have at least two cohorts.
Yes, right now we've got 23 students enrolled. So it's still a very small program, but it's growing. And because of that, we've just decided we need to break them off into two, maybe first and second year students together, third and fourth, and master's level together.
Yeah. And we are hoping to talk to the COP. That's something Paul and I, we are hoping to meet with them and share with them, all the presidents, the district presidents, a little bit what's going on in the Hispanic world in the U.S., right? And the challenge that we have, but also the opportunities that we have. So our dream also, Paul, talking about the future, you ask, Angie, Paul and I have discussed that because I tell my students in MDiv, so do you speak another language besides English? And some do. You'd be surprised. Some people speak Russian because their dad were a missionary in Russia. They speak some Chinese. But a lot of them don't speak besides English. They don't speak anything else, right? And I said, if you don't know any language and you like to learn a new language, I recommend you to learn Spanish. Because even though if you don't plan to be a missionary overseas, but only work in the U.S., you're going to come across a lot of people that speak Spanish. If you know a little bit, you don't need to be fluent. That'll be open doors for people coming to your church. And they say, wow, that Lutheran pastor there, he speaks some Spanish. We can go there. So that's what Paul and I are talking about. So then our dream is, see, we have this Spanish at lunch. It's maybe that maybe in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a core group of students that we can offer, I think for the first time, Paul, one elective class in totally in Spanish for them MDiv students, maybe like preaching, homiletics, something like that. And so then the professor will be teaching totally in Spanish. Even though all the students are Americans and speak English, the whole class will be taught in Spanish. They have to write their essays, their sermons in Spanish. We are hoping that we'll be able to offer that in a couple of years, right, Paul?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Just to do what Paul is saying, you know, maybe bringing them together to this idea of, look, yeah, so because we need more pastors, not only for Hispanics, but if you can have one that can do both, that'll mm-hmm. be wonderful.
Yeah, it's so great to have that accessibility in churches where people know that the pastor can at least converse a little bit with them, even if there's total fluency. Just knowing that community is welcome is really great. Where can people find more information about the Center for Hispanic Studies if they know people that maybe want to learn more or know more about the Spanish ministry happening there?
Right at the seminary website, csl.edu.
Perfect.
Yeah. And they'll see a little link about the Center for Hispanic Studies there.
They have all the information they need there. They can find my information, Paul's information, and you go from there. So we'll talk to them.
Our guest today, Dr. Eli Prieto, Associate Professor of Practical Theology and the Director of the Center for Hispanic Studies at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Prieto, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
And the Reverend Paul Flo, Assistant to the Director of the Center for Hispanic Studies at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Thanks so much for being our guest.
You're welcome. It's been good to be here.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.